ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll get into all kinds of stuff. The Thunder won their third straight game last night. Have a question for everybody out there, and Jared as well. A couple of them, actually. I know we're going to hear throughout the day how the Thunder are already too good. 4-6 through their first 10 games. I think their total in Vegas for the year was 22.5. So, gosh, you're already, what, a sixth of the way there? Fifth of the way there, almost? Through 10 of the 82-game schedule. What is your idea of what the Thunder are? Are you in the championship or bust category where, my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this. They're going to get a crappy pick. They're never going to get back up to the glory days of the Thunder going to the NBA Finals. Or are you content with, hey, we're pretty good. We're making the playoffs most years. You know, every now and then, maybe catch lightning in a bottle. Which side of the fence are you on? And then also, we're not going to do it, but is it going to be every single time they win a game, this, oh my gosh, what a horrible win, tanking conference. You know what I'm saying? For every win the rest of the season. Because if that's the case, then it's just going to be miserable. Because you can't even enjoy what these guys are doing, which is outperforming everybody's expectations across the league so far. So we'll get into a little bit of Thunder. We haven't talked much about that, but with three straight wins, something they didn't do last year, I felt like maybe we could just kind of see where everybody's at. That way we know, you know, on our side of it, okay, how much do you want to hear about it? You know what I'm saying? College football this week. A couple of big games in state. Oklahoma traveling down to Baylor. Oklahoma State will host TCU. Also across the country, three different ranked matchups with Purdue at Ohio State. You got Texas A&M traveling to Ole Miss. NC State and Wake. And then also a couple of interesting ones I added to the list. One is Michigan at Penn State. And then the other, can Tennessee at least make it interesting in the second half against Georgia? Let's talk about that. High school football playoffs. We'll talk a little bit more about the smaller schools today. A couple of the games from around the area. You got Burnspot, Deal City headed to Mangum. Programming note, tomorrow morning at 9:20, we'll have Coach Schneeberger from Burns Flat to talk about the Eagles' season, the matchup against Mangum tomorrow night. So 9:20 tomorrow morning, we'll hear from Coach Schneeberger over there at Burns Flat, Deal City, to preview that matchup a little bit. Cordell's at Fairview, tough ask for the Blue Devils. And then number one, Mountain View, Goaty Bowe in Class C will host Sharon Mutual. So those are kind of some games that we can kind of pick apart a little bit. Also, the dates and the times were released yesterday by the OSSAA of the state finals in football. Tell you what those are, at least from 6A down to Class A. And then also, an interesting move happened yesterday as well with OSSAA news. 6A and 5A state basketball tournaments are leaving the Mabee Center after a 12-straight-year run. They're going to be 3 years down in Norman at Lloyd Noble. So I thought that was pretty interesting to see more of a centralized location for now everything. You know, for everything OSSA. So that's an interesting move there in that 5A and 6A state basketball tournament. So that's kind of what we got on our minds. Feel free to chime in with anything there or whatever else you might have on your mind. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. What's your game? Where are you going to be Friday night for high school football playoffs? 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us a couple of ways. KADSAM.com is one of those. Click the Listen Live tab, play button. You can live stream us that way, or you can download the app, the Paragon Communications app. All things Paragon. Three radio stations. KADS, Cool 94, KECO. You've got the Penny News in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night. thepennynews.com. Pick up a free copy of the Penny News all around right now. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. You got High School Hoops tomorrow night. You got the Big Elks and Cushing on Big Elk TV tomorrow night, 7 o'clock for the football, 6:30 for the basketball. And then, of course, the podcast. If you miss our show entirely, you can find us on KADSAM.com or also iTunes. Might as well subscribe. If you do the iTunes route, we'll alert you when it happens. Good morning, Jared.
What's up?
Nothing. Just
nothing.
Just a little awaiting little. Awaiting the madness starting tomorrow with high school football, first round of the playoffs, and yeah. Then the football coming up over the weekend as well with OU Baylor.
I think there's a Sol game tonight.
A doer.
Yeah.
One game. One game on the slate for tonight. So it just kind of anticipation
tomorrow,
for it.
Really, tomorrow's going to be – there's going to be a lot happening. A lot happening with us, obviously what we do, and then looking around and keeping an eye on other games. And yeah. You mentioned Coach Schneeberger. I'm excited to talk to him tomorrow. Talk about their matchup. That's going to be a fun one. At Mangum. Never easy going to Mangum, but Eagles playing pretty good as of late. That'd be a good first round matchup.
7-2, 7-3. Not going at it. You know, Burt's Flat, Zill City, they finished the season pretty strong. I'm curious as to kind of when he feels like, you know, things kind of turned. Was it just a function of the schedule, in especially in district? Or was it, you know, his guys kind of brought it in together? And here's the deal. If you're Mangum, you're a district champ in A2. Guess what? These two played at Mangum already this season.
That's right.
Burns Flat beat them 56-38.
That's right.
So that's a pretty interesting that a fourth seed playing a one seed
already has a win. I always forget that they already played. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing for District A2 that Burns Flat was in A1.
Yeah.
As you look at that non-district schedule, to beat Carnegie, beat Cordell, beat Mangum.
Back when they were kind of teetering between 8-man and 11-man, Burns Flat, that is, from what I got from the locals was that they did not want to be an 11-man. So they'd rather be an 8-man because they struggled a little bit when they started into 11-man. I think at one time they went back to 8-man for a couple years and then went back up to 11-man. Hey, Burns Flat, you're pretty good at 11-man.
They've got – I think
I think you're okay.
They've got it kind of a little bit akin to what we were talking about yesterday with the Arapahoe basketball, to me, is that they've got a program started
yes.
and being built. And it's not just a season here and there. They put together a program. And then once you do that, participation's higher. And then you're not worried about the numbers of teetering back and forth.
Right.
Once you kind of get that established. Yeah. And I think Coach Neighbor's done a great job.
Absolutely. Since he's returned, because he is a Burns Flat guy, that's a great hire to get him back home, and he's established something pretty good there. So I'm anxious to talk to him tomorrow. Be a good interview.
Yeah, 9:20 is going to be the time
for
him. Get a couple of minutes, have him step out of class right quick, and then kind of preview that matchup against a Mangum. Cordell at Fairview, man, that's going to be a tough ask for the Blue Devils. 2-4 in district, 3-6, heading up to Fairview, 10-0. First undefeated season, I read in the newspaper, since at least 1957 for Fairview.
Really?
Which is kind of shocking
to
me. But that's as far as some stats went back, I guess, and they hadn't had one. Mm. So that was pretty interesting there for Fairview. To me, they had been the best team in A1 all year long, just judging purely by the scores, being able to handle everybody. So that's for Cordell. That's going to be a tough one. And then Class C number one, Mountain View Godibo gets their playoff run started with the home game against Sharon Mutual. Tigers have been dominant all season long in Class C.
Yes, they have, and they look like they're the clear favorite in Class C, but then when you start getting the playoffs, you start playing some, you know, Sharon Mutual this side of the state, and there's some familiarity. There's some
Easy for you to say. Blah, 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 blah. They know each other.
Full disclosure, I burnt my tongue on my coffee this morning. I was that anxious to drink it, I didn't let it cool down. But, you know, then when they get deeper in the playoffs, that's real the real test is when you start going up against teams you're not familiar with. But Mountain View, man, based on what they've done, I mean, my goodness, let me rattle off some scores. 46-0, 56-0, 54-0, 63-0, 68-6, 62-0, 54-6, 70-38. Sure, they gave up points, but they'd go and score 70. That's a pretty special season for Mountain View.
Yeah, I can almost do those points in my head on the give up side.
Yeah.
50 and 18. So 68.
That's all season
in 10 games. So wow. Averaging less, almost exactly a touchdown for the other squad. And it's going to be north of 50 offensively. Not quite 60, it doesn't look like, but it would be close. Yeah. Hard to get much more down than that. Let's just guess at it. 56-6 every game.
Yeah. What's the rule?
45 of them, isn't it?
45. Is it?
I think it is. But you have to play
right,
a half.
You have to play a half. That's why.
Yeah, you have to play 60s. A half.
Man, you're scoring a lot of points in a hurry in one half.
Yeah, you got to play a half. You're 45 of them. You know
man, I wonder how often they got home in time to watch the second half of the Big Elks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of where I was
headed.
Or other
games in the area. That's how fast they get home. Already start to recover for next week.
Would have been pretty sweet to have that gig. You'd be home by 8 o'clock every week.
Oh, boy.
If you were on our side of things.
We'd have to give refunds to advertisers who couldn't get all their ads in. We'd have to get ads in a hurry.
That's why you've got to be good at what we do.
Yes.
Be the longest post-game show of all time.
That's right. Yeah. Two halftime breaks between quarter, third, and fourth quarter break. And, you get them all in there, though. No, that's really cool for Mountain View.
Yeah,
it is. A couple area teams playing some really good football.
Yes, there is. So the dates and times were announced from 6A1 all the way down through Class A for the state finals, all going to be held up at UCO's campus, Wantland Stadium there in Edmond. So it's going to start on Thursday, December 2nd. One game on that Thursday. It's a night game at 7 p.m. That'll be the 6A2. So 6A2 will get that weekend started on Thursday, December 2nd, 7 p.m. Then two games on Friday. It'll be a 1 o'clock game in the 3A final. And then the 4A final is a 7 o'clock game on Friday, December 3rd. Then the next day, they'll start with 6A1 at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. 5A will be 7 p.m. That's December 4th on that Saturday. Then the next Saturday, the 11th, Class A at 1, Class 2A at 7. And so those are the state finals from 6A1 all the way down through Class A. The 8-man B and C, they will be determined later, depending on who's in it.
Location and time. Right?
For sure.
Yeah. And date.
You know, if it happens to be Mountain View Godibeau versus Tyrone, they're not going to play in Edmond. They'll play at Alva. They'll play at Southwestern. They'll play somewhere kind of in between. Woodward High School, I know, has hosted those games before for the finals. And so B and C, that'll be determined once the teams are there. So that's kind of a welcome thing to know when it is. And then also, maybe the shocker – of shocking news to me, at least, because it felt like that 5A and 6A state basketball tournaments were pretty well entrenched there at the Mabee Center in Tulsa at ORU. No longer. They'd been there 12 straight years. I'm actually surprised it's only that. Feels like it's been longer than that to me. Mm-hmm. I know that, I guess maybe they were downtown Oklahoma City at the whatever it was called then. But, yeah, after 12 straight years at the Mabee Center, they're going to be down in Norman at OU for three at the Lloyd Noble starting this year. So three straight years there. There are some different things reading the article that David Jackson, the head man at the OSSA, pointed out that made the bid at OU more attractive than what ORU was. And some of it was like just the online ticketing and the fees that were going to be charged one spot versus another and how much that was going to cost. It was like $75,000. Over 3 years that it would cost the OSSA to do that. So that was one negative, I think, that ORU had. They weren't none too happy, just reading the quotes.
ORU?
ORU, yeah. They felt like they had kind of established that and done a good job, but it's always out for a bid, and the OSSA accepted the one down in Norman.
Sorry, life ain't fair. I like it more central anyways. I think it makes more sense to be more central. That's all I can say about that.
I don't necessarily disagree.
It's a bidding process, and you got to make it more attractive if you're ORU. And it was great while it lasted there, and it probably will return. But is what it is.
Yeah, see, I can remember maybe the only time 4A wasn't in the Big House. Were we seniors?
Oh, man, I can't remember.
I think I was
back.
A senior. I'm almost positive. Because the
I know that when I was a senior, it was in the Big House.
See, it was our senior year. Because the final was Bishop McGinnis and Wagner in 4A on the boys' side. Gosh, Woodward played Carl Albert on the girls. Maybe that the 5A final.
Where at?
It was at OU.
At OU.
Yeah, it was at Lloyd Noble.
Yeah, this isn't the first time they've hosted. I remember them hosting it. I just can't remember the dates. And I remember the downtown stuff with the big schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun experiment, but I think for the high school setting, you want Lloyd Noble. I mean, that's the knock on Lloyd Noble. It's not big enough for, you know, the layout's kind of weird, but I think it actually plays out well for a high school setting.
Yeah, for the bigger schools.
For the bigger schools, yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not for the others. I mean, the ones that belong in the big house belong in the big house.
No, yeah, that'll never change until they build a new big house.
Pretty surprising, though, to me that happened. You really hadn't heard anything about it much going, you know, leading into that process. And then that news broke yesterday.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, here's the times for the football games. And oh, by the way, 5A, 6A state basketball tournament, Norman, not Maybe Center.
That's cleverly done. Because what was the first thing I said to you, or I buzzed you, hey, did you see the times on this? And I didn't see anything, you know, it's like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bigger story, you know, the more upsetting story for some, like you mentioned, was the basketball change. But the times of football kickoffs, everyone's looking at that. They're already planning
to
because
it's this week.
And, yeah.
For sure. Because it's the playoffs are starting.
They know what they're doing.
Perfect time for a little bit of a news dump. As they say.
And oh, by the way, this happened too.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Hey, check out these cool deals. Here's what time your team might play.
Yeah.
And the 5A and 6A
yes.
went to Lloyd Noble.
Wait, what?
But don't worry about that. Your team plays at 7 on Friday.
Yeah.
If you make it. Anyhow.
Oh, boy.
It does seem like the more centralized location is becoming a thing with those state tournaments.
Yep.
Hey, do you like beef? I like beef.
I love beef.
Doesn't everybody pretty well like beef? I mean, most everybody.
I'm thinking about slapping up some hamburgers tonight, some ground beef.
See, it's funny. I laid some out a couple days ago, and I think we're on the taco train. It's Taco Thursday, not Taco Tuesday.
We only do the
only
tacos
Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
I think we're going to do the tacos. We've got some leftover chicken, too.
We had, we had Sloppy Joe's with some ground beef last night.
Oh, really?
And then I was eating that Sloppy Joe, which was great, hon, if you're listening. But I'm thinking, you know what I want? I want some hamburgers. And not pre-made patties. I want to
slap it around.
Make my own patties. Make some
Don't
hamburgers.
Squeeze too much of the fat out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that tonight.
Loosely form them. Put them on the grill.
With some local beef.
That's all I've got. So I don't have any other choice. You want some local beef out there? If you do, Jared is your man. It's the Elk City Rotary Club Beef Sweepstakes. Here's the deal. The grand prize is a full side of beef and a freezer. Not only do you get the beef, you get a place to store it as well.
Some people are afraid to enter this, and then they think, well, if I win, where am I going to
put it? That's right.
We got you hooked up.
Side of beef and a freezer, second and third place, a quarter beef each. The drawing is December 11th, 8 o'clock. Christmas in the Park. That'll be a Saturday, second Saturday in December, won't it be? Yeah, 4th and the 11th. We just talked about the state final game.
It's usually on Heisman night.
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly right.
Because I'm always out there helping them load the train, and I'm looking at my phone. Who won?
Who won?
Yeah.
One ticket for $25, or it's a steal of a deal, 5 for $100. It's the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
I feel like I'm going to get fined if I'm taking advantage of my mic here.
You didn't do it. I did.
Well, I know,
I'm the
you,
one
you
that
said,
did those.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, oh, you mean like
we get fined.
If you get to sell your tickets because I mention it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
An advantage that I have.
So how much can you get fined if I keep saying it?
Well, I don't want to find out, so
stop.
Let's just move on from that topic.
Come
just,
right
let's
up.
Let's just say find an Elk City Rotarian.
Yeah, any Elk City Rotarian. Especially one across from me.
There might be one here in studio.
Talking to you right now. It's the beef sweepstakes there for the Elk City Rotary Club.
No, I know everyone's thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the Mustang? That's not done. But this thing was a success last year because of the situation the country was in. Everyone was worried about, you know, food and inflation, all that stuff. And guess what? We're still kind of there. So we decided to do it again. It was a real success last year. Decided to continue it. And all the money goes back into the community in some form or fashion. So,
yeah, that,
there you go.
I thought that was a pretty brilliant idea for you guys during that time.
I don't want to. Who came up with that idea?
You know, think about COVID a year ago. And, I mean, gosh, May, June, you go to any retailer around.
Yeah.
And there's no beef to be found.
Yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant idea from you guys to be able to get in touch with the locals.
Well, it gives back to the community, which is what Rotary does. And it was a need. You know, nobody wants to buy a car right now. No offense. We encourage that. And that will return. But this is something to help out the community in a lot of different ways. In fact, the person who won it last year, the grand prize, donated it to a family in need, was what I was told.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good stuff all around there.
Yeah.
With the Rotary Club. What do you call it? Raffle? Are we calling it a raffle? Sweepstakes. Beef sweepstakes.
Let's call it that.
Tickets, one, as I mentioned, one for 25, five for 100. All right, college football this weekend. One of the bigger games around the country is involving an in-state school with the Sooners, number 8 in this week's college football committee poll, going down to Waco against number 13, Baylor. It's going to be kind of a strength-on-strength when Baylor has the football. The Bears have the 8th-ranked rushing offense, averaging 231 yards a game. Oklahoma, even though it's much maligned, the Sooners still are the 17th-ranked rushing defense in the country, only 108 per game. And so that might tell a lot about how this game goes. If the Sooners can choke off that run game, make Bohannon throw it. He threw a couple of picks last week against TCU. But Abram Smith has been fantastic, already over 1,000 yards. He's had 6 games of 100 or more, 11 rushing touchdowns. So to me, that's kind of on that side of the football may tell us how this game goes. When you look at OU on offense, passing efficiency, they're 7th in the country. Baylor's pass efficiency D is 59th. So you feel like that's an advantage for Oklahoma there. Now, can they choke off Baylor's strength, or can the Bears hold the ball with ball control, run game, like a bunch of teams have this season, and the Sooners have trouble getting off the field on third down?
I'm incredibly optimistic coming off of a bye week, and the main reason why the Sooners have struggled defensively has been health. It's something no one really talks about. I think health is a thing, and when they got a little healthier against Texas Tech, that was a very solid defensive effort. I know Tech isn't the best, test to go up against, coming in with a impromptu coach and all that. But how many times have OU made bad teams look good? Tulane, Kansas. So my point is, I think if the health is better, and from all indications, what I'm seeing, there's talk of Woody Washington could return. I know he's not very integral into run defense, but I think up front, when you got Redmond, you got all those guys who can live up to that 17th ranked run defense, I think that bodes very well for Oklahoma's chances on Saturday morning. So I'm very optimistic in that regard because of OU's health. And I think if they can hamper down the run game, you're going to force Bohannon to throw it. And then if the secondary is truly healthier, if Woody is able to play and Turner Yell, and we love what Key Lawrence is developing into, and it, not only a run defense is there, if that's there, you would think that the pass rush would be improved too with health. You're forcing some bad passes. My point is, I think we're going to see a little bit better defensive effort on Saturday after a bye week and getting healthier.
Yeah, it seemed like, Oklahoma has actually won 8 straight on the road against ranked teams in conference. That's one shy of the all-time, or well, the AP poll era record dating back to 1936. So
wow.
Sooners went on the road tomorrow, or on Saturday, then they tie that record of 9 straight games in conference against ranked teams on the road wins, which is pretty phenomenal. It's only that many, but it also shows you how hard it is to win in conference on the road against good teams. And that's been a staple of Oklahoma in these games in November. Is it doesn't make any difference. They're able to go on the road and win against good teams, or they have been all the way back to 2014. Oklahoma hasn't lost a game in November since losing to Baylor on Owen Field in early November of 2014. Then they won the last two, and then the last, what, 6 seasons they've won every game. So that's it's an interesting matchup. The one thing that's kind of – it's going to be different, and I went all the way back, I think 2008 – which was Sam Bradford's year, is the last time Oklahoma played in Waco not under the lights. Every other game has been a night game down in Waco. And so how does that affect the atmosphere? How does that affect, not necessarily on Baylor's side, but Oklahoma's side? Because at no point in any of those games did they go in there not expecting anything short of a hostile environment. 2010, 2011... 2013, 15, 17, 19 were all night games. And so, you know, as the road opponent, you know what's coming. It's blackout. It's whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're keyed up and ready to go. Will that be the same thing at 11 a.m.?
I think I was relieved when I saw the 11 a.m. I don't know, no one likes 11 a.m.s, but I wouldn't want to deal with Waco at night.
Yeah, but why not?
Hostile environment, all that stuff.
It really hasn't affected much.
I know. It's given us really good games, primetime games.
There's
tell you
no
that.
Doubt about
it's
that.
It's given us really good games, but something about this 11 a.m., my first initial reaction, as now full disclosure as an OU fan, full reaction, what my first initial reaction was, huh, I kind of like that. Get there, let's get it done and go home.
Yeah, you know. Figure out pretty quick in the day whether you're happy or sad.
Yeah, exactly. That too. Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting. It's for sure, you know, it's easy to kind of fall back on history with the November stuff, with the way that the Sooners have performed on the road against good teams in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to fall into that trap of, oh, well, yeah, it's November, Oklahoma's going to win. But this team has to prove to do it. And we'll see what's happening. It's weird because it, in a lot of ways, the things that are keeping them down, playing close games, not being able to play the full 60 minutes, feels like Oklahoma plays about 38 of every 60 minutes really well. And then those other 22 get them in trouble. But with those things being said, it does feel like this team versus some of the others kind of has been tested, albeit against worse opponents, and a big part of it was them not playing good. But at the end of games, don't you have total confidence? Honestly, almost on both sides.
Yeah.
Because the defense
you just feel
has
like,
been able to stop bad teams when they absolutely had to have it.
When they need those stops.
Tulane, Nebraska, Kansas, you know, they've been able to do it for the most part. Well, not for the most part. They've been able to do it at the end of games when they've had to. We'll see if it comes down to that, how much that experience against a better team would help them in that situation. But you'd think it'd have to, just being there in that fire.
Yeah, they're not going to be scared of being down, I don't know, 5 or 3 and 4 minutes in the fourth. They need a stop or they need a drive. You're right. You sit back and go, you just feel like OU's going to drive down and put themselves in a position to win.
So now here's the question.
Or make a stop.
What about Caleb Williams? This is going to be the first time he's went on the road in a truly hostile environment. Now, I understand what the Cotton Bowl is.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not all 90,000 screaming at you. Half of them are. And listen, I know what the pressures of that game are. But it's different than what this is going to be. You're going to have, 55,000 people, and 53 of them are going to be against you, completely against you. And so how do we just expect him to react the way he has reacted? Because the one questionable game or questionable half that he's had was that sleepy road trip up to Lawrence, Kansas, mm-hmm. in which he was clearly forcing things down the field. It bit him enough to be in a close game against Kansas, not enough to get themselves beat by a terrible Kansas team. This week may be a little bit different. This team might be good enough, if that happens, to be able to put the Sooners away.
Yeah, and everybody talks about the it factor with people, and as soon as Williams took the field, said, man, this guy's got the it factor. And we always compare him to past quarterbacks at OU, especially the ones under Lincoln Riley, you know, Baker and Kyler. This is a, you know, now we'll know if he's in a pressure situation in a hostile environment. Those guys I just mentioned would always use that as fuel, and then you know, to fuel that it factor to perform special on the road. There's really no answer to it until we see it. So I'm anxious to see that too. When you're in a bad situation on the road, hostile environment, crowd yelling everything possible at you, how do you react? And that's what we're going to find out with Caleb Williams. You almost hope he's put in that situation for tests later down in the year, you know, especially in Stillwater and you know, college football playoff game, if that were to be. So you almost want him to be in that situation and see how he reacts to it. And but again, there's no answer there until we see it.
You mentioned Stillwater. TCU comes to Stillwater on Saturday night, Oklahoma State. That's the interesting part about these two teams being ranked as high as they are with OU and OSU. Both just need to clear two more hurdles to get to that game in Stillwater on Thanksgiving weekend. TCU comes to town. It's been a struggle all season long. You look at this actually surprised me, because I know TCU's run defense is terrible. I'm actually surprised that Oklahoma State's run offense is down as far as it is. TCU's the 115th best rush defense. They average over 200 a game given up. OSU's only 60th rush O. I would have figured they would have been way higher than that.
I don't think they're trying to rush that high.
I mean, that's all they do is run it.
Yeah, but it just like it feels like a more methodical mixed bag of offensive plays, where it's like, you know, we're not trying to bust the big one. We're just getting the 4 yards we need, and then we're, you know, setting up Spencer. You see what I'm saying?
And
it's almost a boring offense, but it's working.
No doubt, and they're just not gaining as many yards as a lot of the other ones are.
Look at the scores. I mean, they're not putting up,
right.
You know, they're not lighting up the scoreboard with points.
Outside of Kansas, it's been 20s and maybe
because
into the 30s.
Because they can trust their defense. We talk about trust a lot with OSU, you know, and of course with Sanders. But the defense, too, is like they know, like, listen, we can go. All we got to do is score in the 20s, because our defense is going to hold the other team below that.
And speaking of that defense, Oklahoma State, the fourth best rushing defense, third best overall yards per game defense in the country. TCU rushes it pretty good, 31st. So that's kind of a strength on strength. I want to see, though, so TCU's pass offense has been kind of middle of the pack, but what can Chandler Morris do? You know, we saw last week in that upset of Baylor, he threw for 461. So is that a signal of things to come? I think this is kind of like the Caleb Williams question just a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see, because it's with that one game sample size, it's hard to really make an evaluation of what Chandler Morris could be or is, or how the TCU offense is different with him behind center as opposed to Max Duggan. But early returns, at least for what we've seen, Chandler Morris was throwing it all around, 29 of 41, two touchdowns, no picks, and he threw for 460 against a Baylor defense that's been pretty good against the pass all year long. So that's
a wrinkle.
It's a wrinkle that you weren't expecting a week ago for Oklahoma State's defense to maybe have to worry about all of a sudden a prolific pass offense from TCU.
Yeah, that's a wrinkle that OSU's going to have to prepare for. Now, we've seen sparks of Chandler Morris, of course, in Norman. I think, I'll fully admit, I didn't really watch a lot of the Baylor TCU game last week because I was watching the bigger games, and I just thought Baylor would take care of business, honestly. I'm looking for one stat. There it is. Chandler Morris rushed it for 70 yards on 11 carries, put one in the end zone. That's a wrinkle, too, that OSU's going to have to prepare for.
That's 530 total offense for Morris last
week. That's something, man. That's going to make you scratch your head if you're TCU. Go, God, oh, you put a guy in and it saved their season. How come we didn't do this a long time ago if they were able to go into Stillwater and pull off the upset?
I mean, yeah, obviously. You'd be thinking if Gary Patterson would have made this change, would he still be the coach?
Maybe that's why
he's not.
Yeah. Let me come full circle back to Baylor and go back to that game, Baylor-TCU. Was Baylor overlooking TCU,
100%,
or were they not prepared for Chandler Morris?
I think both. Both things. Because when you look at what happened at TCU that week, the long time, the best coach ever getting fired from that job, you have no idea how they're going to react to that. And you know what's next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and think back to just a week ago, not only was Oklahoma next on this Baylor schedule, the college football playoff was still in reach. You start at 12.
Very much so.
Very much still in the running to be a one-loss Big 12 champion and be in the conversation, if not in that Final Four. And with the way that TCU had been struggling, absolutely they overlooked him. And then you throw in the additional dynamic of a quarterback that they hadn't seen.
Yeah.
It was a lot tougher ask, and TCU came out ready to go. And that's another thing that you and I talked about. How would TCU react to what happened? And they clearly it was a win-one for Gary Patterson type thing or for Jerry Kill or whoever, but they came out and it looked like a completely different squad. How much of that was just simply Chandler Morris not being familiar to Dave Aranda and that staff at Baylor? We'll probably kind of start to find that out this week up in Stillwater. Yeah. And then also, obviously, down in Waco.
OSU a lot of film on Chandler Morris now. But, yeah, that was my question. And, you know, you can't really get a pulse on the team based on fans and Twitter. But all the stuff I saw before the game was from Baylor fans was, let's go win this game so we can get game day in Waco.
That's right.
The fans were looking ahead.
No doubt.
They thought this was a easy win. Go down over to Fort Worth, wallop them, and let's get ready for game day in a night primetime game in Waco. Well, they screwed that up.
Yeah, and now you don't get Big Noon kickoff. A Big Noon kickoff will be at 11. Are they going to be down there?
It's going to be Big Noon OU the next 2 weeks.
They're going to be in Norman.
Yeah, Norman. You know, Bob said, hey, I'm not dumb. We're taking this thing. We're following the Sooners.
Until Bedlam. And then that'll be on the ABC.
Yes, it will.
Let's see. Around the country, last thing about OSU and the Chandler Morris thing. The one game we've seen them struggle just a little bit on defense was at Iowa State, and it was against the pass.
Yeah.
You know, Purdy was, 27 to 33 for like 320. Hutchinson, they didn't really have a guy to slow him down. And so I think that's an interesting matchup because since then, Oklahoma State's defense has just been lights out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of factors, I think, that go along in that. But it'll be interesting. With the run-pass option, like you said, with Morris at 70 yards rushing and throwing for 460, maybe the toughest challenge, if he is really that capable, it's definitely the toughest challenge that defense has faced since Iowa State, and maybe the toughest challenge overall with that dynamic of running pass and just unfamiliarity with him.
Yeah. You know, speaking about OSU's defense, the question, and this is, we got done enough time to answer this question, maybe another day, but how come Jim Knowles is in discussion for a head coaching job somewhere?
Probably will be.
Who says he's not? You know, name's not, I haven't seen his name pop up on a lot of radars. You know, you see Alex Grinch interviewed for the tech job, all that stuff. Man, if I have a vacancy, I'm calling this guy.
You got to think about it. The way that he's turned, isn't it crazy? I mean, Jim said it was almost jarring. I didn't even know what to say when he was like, on Monday, he mentioned, is OSU's defense the second best in the country? And it was like, what? Maybe so, though. It's so jarring for those.
Obviously Georgia has the best defense, but who else has the second best?
Well, it's flat jarring just to hear those words in a sentence together.
Yeah.
With the way that OSU has struggled on defense for all these years with these awesome offenses.
Text line was awesome yesterday. Somebody said, imagine Georgia 1, Alabama 2, OU 3, OSU 4. Imagine a Georgia-OSU matchup.
It'd be
first to 10.
Possibility of a low score there. Let's go around the country. Purdue at Ohio State. Boilermakers have those two big upsets this season over Michigan State and also Iowa. But both of those were at Purdue, weren't they? Or was that Iowa game at Iowa? I can't remember. Either. Anyway.
It was at Iowa.
It was at Iowa. So the Boilermakers have one at home, one on the road of these big upsets. Any chance that they continue this and put a scare into the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Someone asked me that like 2 days ago, I think, and my response was no, because now Purdue's got everybody's attention. You know?
Well, and they only seem to be able to do it if they're not ranked.
They're the spoiler makers. They you don't want them to come spoil your season. So Ohio State, they definitely have their attention. I think it'll be competitive for a little bit. But I think Ohio State takes care of it.
A&M at Ole Miss, kind of the one of the last hurdles for A&M to continue to keep themselves in position to be the spoiler if Bama does fall. Matt Corral has been awesome all year long. You know, there have been some injuries down at Ole Miss, just the grind of that SEC schedule. Whereas A&M feels like one of the hotter teams in the country. With four straight wins, starting with that Alabama win, coming off those two losses to Arkansas and Mississippi State. And they've looked good doing it. And, you know, the Bama win, crushed Missouri, beat South Carolina easily, and then last week went and knocked off Auburn 20-3. So the Aggies, especially defensively, have really looked good over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, great chance for him. If Corral wants to continue his Heisman run or even – at this point, to continue to have a chance to get invited to New York, he's going to have a big game in this one. This is a chance for him in prime time on ESPN to have a big game against a hot A&M team. He comes out, looks good and solid. Yeah, they have a great chance to win that game. That's hard for me to pick, too. I mean, A&M, a 2.5-point favorite on the road in Oxford. We'll have to have Tyler Harrison on and ask him what he thinks about it.
Hey, you look at A&M's schedule, Prairie View, A&M, and then at LSU to finish if they can clear this hurdle.
Well,
you give them a pretty good chance of ending up with just two losses.
He says at LSU?
At LSU.
You think Jimbo takes some stuff with them and
just stays
drops
there.
It off in his new office?
It's a possibility. North Carolina State at Wake. This one's probably not much of a playoff. Doesn't matter, but it is two ranked teams. Wake scores all those points, but North Carolina just had too much last week.
Yeah, I still like Wake. I know they, you know, and we knew that North Carolina, they've had a disappointing season, but they have a great quarterback in Sam Howe, and you just knew one day, one game, sometime he's gonna that offense was gonna come alive, and it did. And man, when I turned it off, and then I turned it back, suddenly Wake had scored again, and it still kind of made that thing closer than what it should be, but or what it could have been, but. I think I still like Wake. I think they'll be okay in that one.
Michigan at Penn State. Feels like Penn State beats somebody every year.
Yeah.
I would imagine. What time is this game?
It would be at 11 a.m. game. Yeah. It's the Big Ten.
So you've got.
Well, it's the Big 12, too. They're all at 11.
We'll see what happens. I would give Penn State a pretty decent chance in this one.
I do,
especially
too.
After the way they played at the Horseshoe against Ohio State a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Defensively, they were fantastic, especially in the red zone, forcing field goals. And that's a lot of times when it gets down to the nitty-gritty here at the end of these schedules, the difference between scoring a touchdown and kicking a field goal in the red zone proves to be the downfall for some of these teams. And that Penn State defense, man, it was really, really good against Ohio State. Michigan, more of a run-based attack. I think this could be a close one, if not the Nittany Lions.
I think
pulling
first,
out the shocker.
First team maybe to 30.
Yeah, you know, we thought Michigan,
the
Michigan State was
over-under's low too, so that's why I say 30. It's like 48.5.
Yeah, you know, we thought that with the Michigan State game, then all of a sudden it was just like boom offense.
Right.
You know, with both teams in the 30s, I'd be surprised if that happens at Happy Valley. And then finally, can Tennessee at least compete into the second half? Not necessarily put a complete scare in Georgia, but at least make them competitive into the third quarter, maybe even early fourth quarter.
Aaron, I want you to listen to me when I say this, okay? Listen closely. No.
Are we sure?
I'm 100% sure. Georgia's way better. I think Tennessee's on their way, but I think they're going to get a little bit of a wake-up call this year, or on this one.
Tennessee went to Kentucky last week, put 45. Hendon Hooker's been really good since taking over there. Heupel.
I might still have a little bad taste in my mouth with their fans.
So. I think the Tennesseans are probably pretty pleased with old Josh Heupel right now.
I think so. That's what I said. I think they're on their way, and I don't think they're ready to ride him out on the rail after one season. But this Georgia team is they're locked in.
Okay. Don't be surprised.
I'd be right there dancing with everybody. They're even able to keep it close and show some flaws in Georgia. But have you seen flaws in Georgia yet? Outside of their week schedule?
How good's their offense? I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't have to be very good when that defense is so great.
Right.
Still got a couple of days to make your Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em picks. 10 games against the spread. I need to step it up. We decided there was 4 weeks left, counting the championship games, conference championship games. So that's 38 games or so. I need to reel off about a 30-8 to get back into the competition, even remotely into the competition. It's going to be tough. But I wish I had those three games from last week that I forgot to pick. It would have been winners. Oh, well. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property, is their motto. Tyler Harrison turned another year older just within the last week. Go see him. Him and Robbie Allen, all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty, as I said, people before property. All your real estate needs right there at Western Oklahoma Realty.
All right. Well, so last time he sponsored something, he just told him that.
He just got a year older. I didn't say how old he got.
Okay.
Just a year older. Everybody, it happens every year to everybody.
I suspect I know around what age.
I think I do too, but we don't need to get that out there. I have an unfair advantage. I have a sister that's the same class, so I can kind of figure that out.
He's a class of 02, right?
I thought 03.
Oh, well, we're close then.
I think 03.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty
then
sure.
I may be older than him.
Like, pretty sure.
Okay.
95% sure. I'm right there in the pretty sure range.
About to text him right now and find out.
I'm surprised he hadn't text us. Anyhow.
He's too busy.
Hey, selling property. Buying property. Whatever it is. He can do it. Thunder win their third straight last night. 108-100.
Yes.
Over the horrific.
Oh, they're just so beat up.
New Orleans Pelicans.
And they don't have Zion. They don't have, the other guy.
Ingram. Did Ingram play?
No, Brandon Ingram.
So there were some late-minute possibilities of him playing, but he didn't.
Nah, I was listening pregame. He was not going to give it a go. And that team's built around those two guys. I mean, when they're not there, nah.
Sure doesn't help to not have them.
No.
The Thunder, better than anybody thought. So my question was, so what is your idea of what they should be? Are you just – because it feels like the NBA is the only league where it's championship or bust. Like you can't
– You can't just consistently win and hope
it does,
you have a
it
good
feel,
year.
It feels like the fans of NBA teams don't look at it like that. Does that go back? Because when you think about, you know, all-time rankings and all that kind of stuff and best players, a big part of why people just immediately say MJ is because he won six titles in six tries in the finals, right?
Right.
His team never lost. And so that gets kind of extrapolated out to everything NBA. And the truth of it is, outside of San Antonio, the same few cities, big cities, win these titles. You know, and even more kind of micro to it, it's either been LeBron or Steph. You know, for a lot of this, you know, there's you sprinkle in a Toronto here and a Milwaukee there, but over the last decade, for the most part, it's either been wherever LeBron's at or the Warriors.
True.
Taking home titles. So that leads me to think, golly, are the expectations so unrealistic for the Thunder for people to just assume it's championship or bust because they got lucky and had Durant, Harden, and Westbrook on the same team when they were all 23 years old?
Well, that's what we were spoiled as Thunder fans early in its creation here in Oklahoma City, right? We were absolutely spoiled because of what you just mentioned. But I think the realistic approach is be happy that they're winning. If they can consistently win, this is me. This is coming from me. Mm-hmm. If they can consistently win, and then you never, I mean, they're kind of reminding, they kind of look like they're turning the corner to turning into like a Portland, where the consistent winners consistently make the playoffs, hoping for a deep playoff run every once in a while. Okay? We're not large market. We're not going to get the LeBrons or Stephs or even
not unless you draft them.
Unless you draft them. You're not going to have that.
Which goes back to the, okay, why are they winning? Are we going to have to talk about tanking every time they win? Because they're getting further away from the best chances at those draft picks. But the thing to me, one, you're running the joy of this team doing something nobody thought they could.
If you get upset every time they win, I mean, what kind of life are you leading here? Come on. I was happy that they won. I'm happy about a three-game win streak. I'm okay with it.
I mean, and you understand.
Because I feel like we got pieces on this team right now that can move forward towards that consistently winning culture that the Thunder have grown accustomed to.
And I know the numbers support you need a top three or four pick over, right, like all time. But Steph, what was he? Seventh or eighth? Six, seven, eight, something in that range?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Dame Lillard. I think he was the sixth pick. You know, every single draft outside, I mean, and then you can go through the busts at the top. They're so enormous. There's been tons of them.
Of course.
But every draft you can go through there. And if you make the right pick, you get a great player. You just have to be good at it. We'll see what happened with, you know, it looks like Giddey, at least as a young dude at 19, can play NBA basketball. Now, he has some ups and downs. There's no doubt about that. But it does feel like he belongs in the NBA. To what extent, we'll find out. But with SGA, a budding superstar, you've got that piece. And I wonder if maybe we're just underrating him because we get to see him now. And if he was on another team, he'd be like, man, why couldn't we get an SGA? Guess where he was drafted? In the team, in the double digits, right? Mm-hmm. 11, 12, mm-hmm, something like that. So it's possible. It's harder, sure. And maybe you're not getting LeBron or KD because you don't have the top two picks or whatever. But you know what? The back-to-back reigning MVP, he was in the teens.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of finding him and doing it when you have the chance and drafting the right guy.
Well, I keep going back to him. Sam, we trust, because he finds those guys that can be in the teens, mid-rounds, picks, stuff like that.
Be good players.
Be good players, consistent players. And if I'm okay with winning. I'm okay with it.
You know who's been maybe not turning a corner to being really good, but it's been better this year? Baisley.
Yep.
We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.